Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, June 27, 2024, 1 John.
Well, tomorrow is Tim Vanslow's birthday, 105 years old. And even though you, I know all of you know the words, so happy birthday to you! Now, I was going to sing Up Against the Wall, Redneck Mother, but I was afraid they didn't know the words of that one. But... well, maybe I will sing Up Against the Wall. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 5. We are in a very important passage. 1 John 5, 6 through 12. The witness concerning the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you better fasten your seatbelts because everything's going on in 1 John 5, 6 through 12. And I always start with the King James. And the King James really sucks in this passage. And I'll have to straighten that out, but anyway, in preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. An update on Vacation Bible School. And I wish you all could be here to see the VBS team working together. We have a great, great team. And the VBS team is doing a phenomenal job. And God has provided hearers to be here, little children. And through the years, this has gone on again and again and again. And it'll be fun to get to heaven and see how many of these little people place their faith in Jesus Christ and are there in heaven. We may have a special VBS party up in heaven when we get there. But here's the Thursday recap. Another fun day at VBS. The children were so happy to be here again today. We had a total of 25 children. The family of children that were a bit afraid of having their mom leaving them were fine today. One of them, Armando, is 4 years old, and he was hopping up and down, going down the hall to the classroom. In fact, Debbie came back, Mava, she says, this little guy, 4 years old, he hopped, 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 hopped all the way down to the classroom. When he first came here, he cried and cried and cried and cried. But that's changed. And he was waited in line for his breakfast, big smiles on all the children. They had silver dollar pancakes and watermelon for breakfast, and they loved it. Daria gave the gospel and went through John 3:16, making sure they understood that it says, whoever believes in Jesus shall not perish but have eternal life. The Bible says, believe in Jesus plus nothing. They learned about God's omnipresence, omniscience, and omnipotence today. That's a lot of doctrine to communicate, but both Karina and Sherry did a great job with their lessons. The children received a small globe squeeze ball, magnifying glass, and lightning bolt to illustrate omnipresence, omniscience, and omnipotence to add to their essence of God box. The songs included Going on a Bear Hunt, and you should be here for that one. I always know when that one's going on because there's nothing but screaming going on. For about 10 minutes, they never stop. Going on a bear hunt, and that's requested every single day. They played water relay out front and painted sun catchers for the craft. We thought that the painting crafts were going to be the hardest, but it turns out that they love painting. We have several Van Goghs that are here. They love painting, and everyone calms down, and it's very quiet as they paint. And they're very excited to come back tomorrow, day 5, and that's the end of Vacation Bible School. Thank you for your prayers. This is from Jamie and the VBS team. All right, 1 John 5:6-12. We have the witness concerning the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in this passage. We've exegeted 1 John 5:6, which says, this one is the one who came, first advent of our Lord Jesus Christ, by water and by blood. Jesus Christ. Absolutely not by water alone, but by water and by blood. Now, to understand 1 John 5:6-12, the witness concerning the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to understand that 1 John is a polemic against Gnosticism. Now, Gnosticism, the Gnostics, they were called by a couple of different names. One was by the person who was actually in the Apostle John's congregation, in his church. And he led all kinds of believers into the cosmic system. He was a false teacher. He was a Gnostic. And it took on the name Cerinthian Gnosticism because of the individual who developed this thing, Cerinthus. It was also called Docetic Gnosticism. Docetic Gnosticism is the same as Cerinthian Gnosticism. It comes from the Greek word dokeo. And dokeo is one of the Greek words in the Bible for thinking, but it is subjective thinking. Dokeo is subjective thinking, in contrast to phroneo, which is objective thinking. And it's from dokeo, subjective thinking, that we have the term docetic Gnosticism. And the word literally means in the Greek to suppose. Subjective thinking and to suppose. And it's from that Greek word that Cerinthian Gnosticism was also called docetic Gnosticism. So you have to understand, and I've taught this to you on several occasions, that the Apostle John is, much of the book of 1 John is a polemic against Gnosticism. And docetic Gnosticism, Cerinthian Gnosticism, denies several things. Denies, first of all, the deity of Christ. Secondly, it denies the incarnation and virgin birth of Christ. Third, it denies the hypostatic union of Jesus Christ. And fourth, it denies the true humanity of Christ. The Gnostics said that the cross was an optical illusion. Therefore, they totally rejected the grace gospel, that salvation is by faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. For the Gnostics, salvation was the false gospel of philosophical speculation, total subjectivity and suppositions, but not truth. Since the Gnostics taught that the cross was an optical illusion, then they totally rejected both the spiritual death of Christ on the cross, his salvation work of solving the world problem of sin, and the physical death of Christ on the cross. Therefore, there cannot be spiritual death nor physical death in an optical illusion. The spiritual death and physical death of Christ on the cross proves that he is true humanity. The Apostle John is proving the true humanity of Christ and thereby prove the grace gospel, that salvation is only by faith in Christ and his work on the cross. The eternal Son of God, deity of Christ, he had to take on true humanity because deity can't die. He had to take on true humanity to go to a cross and have the sins of the world poured out on him and judged in him. Satan attacked the salvation work of Christ on the cross in several ways, through the Gnostics, the false teachers, the spirit of Antichrist, living in John's day, denying not only the deity of Christ as the eternal Son of God, but denying the incarnation and virgin birth of Christ, denying the hypostatic union of Christ, denying the existence of the true human body while our Lord was on planet Earth. and obscuring the importance of our Lord's spiritual death on the cross, those 3 hours from 12 noon to 3 p.m., when God brought a supernatural darkness over the world, because now he was gathering up billions and billions and billions of sins and pouring them out on Jesus Christ and then judging them in Christ. And that was in the body of Christ, the true humanity of Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ screamed and screamed and screamed, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then he answered in the psalm, because you are holy. Obscuring the importance of our Lord's spiritual death on the cross, those 3 hours from 12 noon to 3 p.m., where he bore the world's sins in his own body on the cross and the judgment on those sins. They denied the imputation of the world's sins to the body of Christ and the judgment of those sins. Satan philosophized the cross through Gnosticism, supposition, but not truth. So again, 1 John 5:6, this one is the one who came, first advent of Christ, by water and by blood, Jesus Christ. Absolutely not by water alone, but by water and by blood. All right. One. In this verse, the Apostle John, through the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit, destroys the false teaching, the false doctrine, and the false gospel of the Gnostics in his day. In 1 John 5, verse 6, the Apostle John, through the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit, destroys the false teaching, the false doctrine, the false gospel of the Gnostics. Two, the phrase by water and by blood, that's the key. By water and by blood. Three, it is used by the Apostle Paul in this verse two ways, two things he's emphasizing here. Four, first of all, the word water refers to the baptism of Jesus by which his public ministry was initiated. So first of all, the word water refers to the baptism of Jesus by which his public ministry was initiated. Five, the word blood refers to his death, both his spiritual death, his salvation work on the cross, followed by physical death by which his earthly work was terminated. So the word blood refers to his death, both his spiritual death, his salvation work on the cross, followed by his physical death, by which his earthly work was terminated, finished. Six, John dogmatically declares that Jesus Christ did not come by water only, but by water and blood. In fact, he repeated himself. God never has to repeat himself. This is God the Holy Spirit motivating the Apostle John to put in this repetition. If God is repeating this, it's very, very important. So John dogmatically declares that Jesus Christ did not come by water only, but by water and blood, refuting the false teaching of Gnosticism. Refuting the false teaching of Gnosticism. 7. Both the baptism and crucifixion of Jesus are absolute truth and are directly related to the salvation work of Christ on the cross. Both the baptism and crucifixion of Jesus are absolute truth and are directly related to the salvation work of Christ on the cross. Now, point 8. Secondly, the words water and blood refers to the true humanity of Jesus Christ. The Gnostics totally refuted that Jesus Christ was true humanity. So the words water and blood refer to the true humanity of Jesus Christ. And who is writing 1 John? I know you know this. The Apostle John. Okay. Now, who wrote the Gospel of John? The Apostle John. I knew. See, you guys are so sharp. Turn over to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. John 19, this is Christ on the cross. Let's start at verse 30. When Jesus, therefore, had received the sour wine, he said, Tetelestai, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. He dismissed his spirit on his own. Verse 31. The Jews, therefore, because it was the day of preparation, so that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. In other words, two criminals on each side of Jesus Christ were still alive. Crucifixion lasts, it's a death that lasts a long, long time. And the two criminals on each side of Jesus Christ were still physically alive. But they wanted them taken down because of the Passover. So they wanted to go and break their legs. If you break their legs, now they will die very shortly. But Jesus Christ dismissed his spirit. He was already dead. The two criminals were still alive, but he was already dead. He dismissed his spirit. Verse 30. And they asked Pilate, that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man and of the other man who was crucified with him, with Christ. But coming to Jesus, when they saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side, pierced his chest cavity with a spear, and immediately there came out blood and water. Blood and water. And he who has seen And by the way, John never refers to his own name when he's in writing. He who had seen is John, the Apostle John. And he who has seen, John, has borne witness, and his witness is true. And he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you also may believe. So secondly, the words water and blood refer to the true humanity of Jesus Christ, John 19, 30 to 35. 9. John is dogmatically teaching that through the incarnation and virgin birth, the Lord Jesus Christ possessed true humanity. That in Operation Grace the Cross that God the Father designed, it required the eternal Son of God, the eternal Son of God, to leave heaven, take on true humanity, and that happened, the greatest miracle the world will ever know, on that very first Christmas, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. So John is dogmatically teaching that through the incarnation and virgin birth, the Lord Jesus Christ possessed true humanity. 10. This is John's answer to Cerinthian Gnosticism. This is his answer to Cerinthus, who has been leading so many believers in his congregation into the cosmic system. This is John's answer to Gnosticism and their attack and denial of the true humanity of Christ. And their attack and denial of the true humanity of Christ. 11. Therefore, John is declaring in this verse, 1 John 5, verse 6, he is declaring that our Lord Jesus Christ had a human body, that he was true humanity. So John is refuting this great attack on Christianity, which was Gnosticism in his day. We got the same kinds of attacks on Christianity by Satan today. Just take one name out and put another name in. John is refuting the great attack on Christianity, which was Gnosticism, and they're rejecting the true humanity of Christ. So this is a very, very powerful verse here. Verse 6. This one is the one who came, first advent, by water and by blood. Jesus Christ. Absolutely not by water alone, but by water and by blood. Now we come to the King James Version mess. Now, I have a King James Version here. It's the Schofield. I have three Bibles. I have a Schofield, King James Version, NASV, NIV. I have three Bibles up here. None of them are God-breathed. The only God-breathed scriptures are the original autographs, the Koine Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic, that the God-breathed scriptures were written in. That's all that's God-breathed and inspired. These are translations. They're all different. But I know none of you do very well with Hebrew, Aramaic, and Koine Greek, so you have a Bible, and I have three of them up here. When Billy Graham came to Las Vegas on several occasions. And when he did come, there were churches in Las Vegas that had people in their church that went, and we, Upland Bible, we were part of it. I was a part of it. Several people in Upland Bible Church participated. We went there, and they prepared us for what we were going to be doing. And when Billy Graham gave the gospel, and then, of course, at the end, he has people come forward. And I'll tell you what, here in Las Vegas, they came by the hundreds and the hundreds, they came forward. Well, our job as believers in churches in Las Vegas was to follow up on those who came forward. And I participated in this. And everybody in our church that participated in that, they were the perfect ones to follow up on these people that went forward. And I would have a list of people, their names and their addresses and where they were. And I went to all of them. And one place I went was a fellow. He was an older gentleman. And I went in. I said, I'm with Billy Graham Crusade, and I'm here to come and follow up. I understand you came forward when Billy Graham made that invitation. He said, yes, I did. I said, very good. So I had my briefcase with me, and so I opened the briefcase, and I pulled out a Bible. He said, wait a second. What kind of Bible is that? NASV? No. Well, here, I got another one. What kind of Bible is that? NIV? No. You have a King James Bible? I said, well, I do. I didn't bring it with me. No. No, King James Version, that's the only one that I will listen to, King James Version. I said, why is that? Well, if it was good enough for the Apostle Paul, it's good enough for me. I said, you got a point there. And I went ahead and followed up. And there's a lot of people that think that way. If it was good enough for the Apostle Paul, it's good enough for me. Well, what a lot of people don't even realize is a lot of the translators of the King James were not even Christians. They were unbelievers. And we got some very unique things that happened in the King James translation. And here is one of the classic faux pas of all time. So, you know, you might even wonder, why do you start with the King James? Well, there are a lot of people that that's the only thing that they'll start with that anyway. Then I get into exegetical analysis from the original text. But unfortunately, the King James Version is so horrible at this point that before we go on, I need to straighten out this mess. First of all, notice in 1 John 5, verse 6, here we go. 1 John 5, this is the one who came first advent by water and by blood, Jesus Christ, absolutely not by water alone, but by water and blood. And then you notice in the King James, if you have your Bible, King James, it goes on in verse 6 and says, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. That's the rest of verse 6 in the King James. But that's not in the original autograph. That's the rest of verse 6 is verse 7 in the original autograph. And then there's verse 7, and in the King James, the verse 7 says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. That is nowhere in the Greek, anywhere, in any manuscript. Verse 7 is not there. So if you have a King James Bible, you can take and just cross out verse 7 in the King James Bible. It's not there. What we have in the rest of verse 6, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth, that is verse 7. So the rest of verse 6 in the King James, that's verse 7. What is verse 7 in the King James, that's nowhere to be found. So, the King James Version of verse 7 is not found in the original Greek manuscript. They are words that were added by a monk who copied them from a modern Latin Vulgate. Latin Vulgate. An Irish monk copied this right out of the Latin Vulgate. These words are not found in the oldest manuscripts. These words were in the margin of the Vulgate. There is nothing like this in the Greek at all. And the Vulgate is the Latin version of the Bible. And it was translated by Jerome. Now, there's nothing wrong with Jerome. Jerome was an excellent and magnificent believer and scholar. Nothing wrong with Jerome. But there's a lot wrong with the Pope. And the Pope didn't like the translation by Jerome. He didn't like how Jerome translated it. Jerome did a fantastic job. So the Pope had it retranslated to line up with Catholic doctrine. Well, I can't tell you exactly what Jerome called the Pope and the redactors. Two-legged donkeys is a euphemism, but he called the redactors and the Pope two-legged donkeys. I think jackasses is better. And ignorant priests. So verse 7 in the King James Version is not part of the God-breathed scriptures. But what is in the God-breathed scriptures for verse 7 is the rest that we have in verse 6 in the King James Version. So now 1 John 5, verse 7. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness. This is the conjunction chi plus the present active indicative of ame plus the nominative singular of pneuma with the definite article plus the articular present active participle of martureo. The conjunction chi is a connective chi, correctly translated and. And then ame is the Greek to be verb. E-I-M-I, the Greek to be verb, means it is or is. And then we have pneumai. I know you pronounce it pneuma, but that's no self-respecting Greek would ever say pneuma. They pronounce every, there are no silent letters when they spoke. Then no one ever said pneuma. It was pneuma. But I know I can tell you that and you'll still say pneuma. Pneuma is the Greek word for spirit. And here refers to God the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, a member of the Godhead, eternal God. And then we have martureo. M-A-R-T-U-R-E, long O. Martureo. All right, let's get a couple of points on martureo. One, martureo means to bear witness, to testify, to be a witness, to confirm. So the verb martureo means to bear witness, to testify, to be a witness, to confirm. Two, martureo is a declaration or confirmation based on first-hand knowledge of the facts. Martureo is a declaration or confirmation based on first-hand knowledge of the facts. Three, God the Holy Spirit is the witness. God the Holy Spirit is the witness. Four, as the third person of the Trinity, His title, Holy Spirit, emphasizes His absolute righteousness and perfect justice, His infinite integrity, infinite virtue, infinite honor. So as the third person of the Trinity, His title, Holy Spirit, emphasizes His absolute righteousness and perfect justice, His infinite integrity and virtue and honor. Five. Therefore, He is the perfect witness to testify about the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Therefore, He is the perfect witness to testify about the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Six, He is also the perfect witness to testify about the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God on that very first Christmas. He is also the perfect witness to testify about the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. Seven, at the incarnation and virgin birth, God the Holy Spirit indwelt and filled the true humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the incarnation and virgin birth, God the Holy Spirit indwelt and filled the true humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Eight, therefore, He can not only testify about the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, since He, the Holy Spirit, is a member of the Godhead, therefore He can not only testify about the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, since He, the Holy Spirit, is a member of the Godhead, but He can also testify about the true humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ and His hypostatic union, because He indwelt and filled the humanity of Christ every day that He was alive on planet Earth. But But he can also testify about the true humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ and his hypostatic union, since he indwelt and filled the true humanity of Christ every day he was alive on planet Earth. Now the Gnostics denied the deity of Christ. God the Holy Spirit is a member of the Trinity. He is a member of the Godhead. No one can testify, be a better witness than God the Holy Spirit, the member of the Trinity, member of the Godhead, that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God and is deity. So the Gnostics denied the deity of Christ, and here's a member of the Godhead, member of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, and says, beg to differ. He is deity, been deity for all time, for all eternity in the past. Secondly, the Gnostics denied the incarnation and virgin birth of Christ. And God the Holy Spirit says, I was there. And at the incarnation and virgin birth, I indwelt and filled the humanity of Christ from that day, the entire time he was on planet Earth. And third, the Gnostics denied the true humanity of Christ. And God the Holy Spirit can declare dogmatically, he is true humanity. Nine. So God the Holy Spirit is the infinite. How many witnesses can you get in the court case that are infinite? God the Holy Spirit is the infinite and perfect witness who declares dogmatically that all the teaching of the Gnostics is nothing but lies, lies, lies. God the Holy Spirit is the infinite and perfect witness who declares that all the teaching of the Gnostics is their total lies. 10. God the Holy Spirit was the perfect witness at the baptism of Jesus Christ. God the Holy Spirit was the perfect witness, infinite witness at the baptism of Jesus Christ. Turn over to Matthew chapter 3. And the baptism of Jesus Christ is different than any other baptism. There's no baptism that even, this is a total different category of baptism. Because first of all, Jesus Christ is the God-man. He's impeccable. He's sinless perfection. He hasn't even committed one sin. What is this baptism about? Well, God the Father designed Operation Grace, the cross, and this was a special baptism where Jesus Christ said, I'm here to fulfill, Father, your incarnation plan of eternal salvation by going to the cross. So, Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. This is John the Baptist. He wasn't a Methodist or a Lutheran. He was the one, John, who happened to baptize. To be baptized by John. This isn't the Apostle John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? What's going on? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit, the perfect and infinite witness. He saw God the Holy Spirit descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." So God the Holy Spirit was the perfect witness at the baptism of Jesus Christ. Now the baptism of Jesus Christ was different than any other baptism, totally unique. John recognized Jesus Christ's impeccability as the God-man. And because he recognized his impeccability, that he had never even sinned, John refused to baptize him. But Jesus told him the water represented something totally new. Namely, it represented the Father's incarnation plan for him to begin his public ministry, to go to a cross and receive the personal sins of mankind and be judged. So, at the beginning of his earthly ministry, Christ identified himself with the Father's incarnation plan, with the Father's will. That's the purpose of this unique baptism. In the water, Jesus was saying he would fulfill the Father's incarnation plan and live a perfect life by the power of God the Holy Spirit, under the greatest testing of all time, and then he would go to a cross as a perfect person, as an impeccable God-man, and receive the imputation of the world's sins in his body and the judgment on those sins. That's what he was saying in the water in this unique baptism. And as he came out of the water, Jesus recognized that when he completed the incarnation plan of the Father, Operation Grace, the cross, and then dying physically, he would be resurrected, followed by his ascension and session to the right hand of God the Father. So, coming up out of the water was a picture of his resurrection. His resurrection, ascension, and session to the right hand of God the Father. 11. Both the omnipotence of God the Holy Spirit and God the Father were involved in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, God the Holy Spirit is the infinite and perfect witness. 12. Therefore, once again, God the Holy Spirit is the infinite and perfect witness to testify about the deity of Christ, because he was always a member of the Godhead, the Trinity. The true humanity of Christ, he was there at the incarnation and virgin birth, indwelt and filled the humanity of Christ. The hypostatic union of Jesus Christ, and the fact that Christ is the Messiah, the only Savior, and that eternal salvation can only be attained by faith in Jesus Christ and his salvation work on the cross. So, Pneuma, the Holy Spirit, martureos. And martureo is an articular participle. The articular participle is substantival. It functions as a noun. And so it is translated, the one who bears witness, the one who testifies, the one who confirms, the one who confirms the deity of Christ, the one who confirms the true humanity of Christ, the one who confirms the hypostatic union of Christ, the one who confirms the fact that Christ is the Messiah, the only Savior, and that salvation is attained only by faith in Jesus Christ. So, and the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the one who testifies, bears witness, confirms the deity of Christ, the incarnation and virgin birth of Christ, the true humanity of Christ, his salvation work on the cross. Because the Spirit is absolute truth. Well, you don't have it. King James, it just says truth. Because the Spirit is truth. Hateta pneuma estin he aletheia. The conjunction hati plus the nominative singular pneuma with a definite article plus the present active indicative of a me plus the nominative singular of aletheia with the definite article. Hati. H-O-T-I. Hati is used in its causal sense. This is a causal conjunction. It should be translated because. And then ta pneuma. There's the definite article, ta, P-N-E-U-M-A, ta pneuma, the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, ami, again, to be verb, is present tense, is linear action sort. Graph it like that. Linear action start. Keeps on being. Keeps on being what? Aletheia. Not just truth. This is a special word. And you, those of you who have been here for many moons, why, you know what this means. A-L-L-E-T-H-E-I-A. Aletheia. And aletheia is the Greek word for absolute truth. Because the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, keeps on being absolute truth. All right, now you see, now we're really getting rolling on this great paragraph, 1 John 5, 6 through 12. So verses 6 and 7 now sound like this. This one, Jesus Christ, is the one who came, first advent, by water and by blood. Jesus Christ, absolutely not by water alone, but by water and by blood. And the Holy Spirit is the one who testifies, who bears witness, who confirms the deity of Christ, the incarnation and virgin birth of Christ, the humanity of Christ, his salvation work on the cross, because the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, keeps on being absolute truth, the perfect witness. And John, when he teaches this, all the Gnostics out there in the congregation get, the Word of God is alive and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. And all John did was teach this, and the Word of God went out to all those Gnostics. And he's just getting warmed up. Well, we'll pick it up here next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.